Good evening. My name is R. Paul Martin. This is the National Finance Committee. I'd like to welcome everybody to it. We're having our regular meeting tonight. The chair is not here at the moment. So the first thing we need to do is establish that we have a quorum. And as secretary, I will read down the list. Please answer when your name is called. Alonzo Brown?
Here.
Mike Jones? Alberto Luera?
Present.
R. Paul Martin here. Simon Pius?
Yes, here.
Summer Reese? Tracy Rosenberg?
Here.
Alex Steinberg? John Wanger?
Here.
LaVarne Williams?
Present.
Bruce Wolf?
Here. Yeah, this is John testing my call levels. How do I sound?
We have eight. There's a quorum, so we are convened here. As a secretary, I started out, but it can be a little bit problematic if we get into motions and things, if I have to be secretary and chair all at once. Do people think we are going to need a chair pro tem for tonight, or what? What is folks' pleasure?
Well, you want to do it? You want to be the chair?
Well, I'll be glad to just kind of be the acting temporary chair, and I would appreciate if you guys assist me and that we move forward through the different items on the agenda. Hello, who joined us?
Yep,
John Wanger. I'm now here. For a moment there, I was here on cell and Skype. Now I'm Skype only.
Okay. So, Alberto, you're volunteering to be the chair.
Sure, I'll go ahead and try and moderate the meeting and move forward with it, please.
Is anybody else hungering to do that job? Is there any objection to Alberto being the chair pro tem? Hearing none. Alberto, you're the chair pro tem.
Okay.
Take the chair.
Okay, we'll try and put an agenda together. Let me inform the members by repeating what all of you already know. We do not have Anthony, the business manager or the person in charge of the budgetary process out of KPFK. Also, as you're well aware, Summer's not with us. Just before we went online, LaVarne suggested that Anthony would be available to sit with us next week, and we'll decide that at the end of this meeting to figure out if we want to meet again next Tuesday to work over the KPFK budget. Having said that, I did hear that our secretary, R. Paul Martin, had items to discuss, and also John Wanger had items to discuss. Mr. Secretary, will you be kind enough to list the items and inform us of what items are available for us to discuss?
Okay. Let me see here. Let me get to all of the stuff. All right. I'll read John's first. John's proposals are, do other stations have an assistant general manager position? These are questions, I guess, right?
Yep. Two. Questions and issues.
Okay.
Two. John is asking to see the other stations' draft budgets. Three. He would like to know how many people are in the various news departments around the network.
Okay.
Four. He would like to know, does each station get Arbitron ratings? And
okay.
he would like to compare them. And five is also about the Arbitrons in terms of getting highest granularity. That's every quarter hour for every hour of the week. And whether the LSV can view them. The management wants to know the management fraction of payrolls, station by station, and department by department. And as a 720
please, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Repeat that. repeat that again?
Management. What is the management fraction of payrolls, station by station and department by department? So basically, how much?
Sure.
What percentage of the payroll is management?
Sure.
So
okay.
That's six, since he forgot number seven. The one I have brought up is at WBAI, we have folks who would like to see the LSB Finance Committee able to have executive session meetings that would include the non-LSB members in it if they signed a confidentiality agreement. I know our Finance Committee is somewhat different from others, and we aren't composed exclusively of LSB members. Anyway, that constitutes seven items there. So I don't know how we want to handle this.
Anybody else has any other items that they would like to discuss that at the moment? Is there any concerns out there?
I just have one question. CD we got, the DVD we got, LeBron, there's nothing confidential in that CD, is it?
LeBron?
Yeah, I was on mute. I think that I have I have some headcount and with salaries on it. So if you could, if you could not give that CD out. I think that's, in fact, I was trying to find it right here. I believe I do have headcount with salaries on that.
Okay.
So if you find that file, if you can somehow copy it individually or send it out,
No, what I do is I give a report monthly at our LSB meeting, so it won't be difficult to keep that confidential.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I believe the one with the headcount is on there. I'll confirm it as we go through the meeting. I'll find it and make sure.
Okay. Question?
Go ahead, sir.
What's
yeah, I have I. What?
I'm sorry, Arpal, hold a second. Bruce was on was just after Alonso. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, I have something I'd like to bring up, and that's the question of some items that are on our local budgets that I think maybe would be more appropriate to be on the Pacific and National budget.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, specifically of one item is the expenses for the board, for the national board meetings.
Right. Well, we can talk about that also very quickly. Anybody else?
Oh, this is LaVarne. I just want to briefly talk about the financial position that we're all in at this point. You know, this is like the dog days of summer, and we're having these short fund drives. KPFA has started in August, but, we're really into a cash crunch at this time. And we have a directive coming out from Arlene that's what I want to talk about.
Okay. Do we want to flip a coin on the order, or shall I start kind of trying to figure out what would be the order for the agenda very quickly? Do we want to hear, let me start. Do we want to hear LaVarne first? Do we want to hear LaVarne second or third, or do we want to hear LaVarne at the end of the other three questions that are before us? Of course, John is welcome to questions.
This is Tracy. I would say that we should save LaVarne for the end because I think some of the questions she might be able to weigh in on.
Okay. Is that acceptable, guys, that we leave LaVarne till we address the 1, 2, 3, 4 issues, 4 persons that got questions?
Arpal for stat?
Sure.
Go ahead, Arpal.
I think maybe a CFO report at the top would be a good idea. And LaVarne, whatever we're into, LaVarne will be able to talk about through the entire meeting. I mean, as other items come up, we'll all be participating. So I would think the CFO report at the top would be good because, we want to talk about crash crunch. That might help us to prioritize in our minds how we want to deal with some things.
Okay. Any other thoughts?
Well,
I think I'm agreeable. Anything is fine. Let's just get going.
I think, why don't we do the first, the group of questions that John put out, because it seems like something that's distinct from the other parts. And we could go through it real quickly, maybe, and then have LeVon.
Okay.
How's that?
Okay. Okay. How about you, Paul? You want to be after LeVon on this one?
What do you mean, after LeVon?
Well, it'll be John first. We'll go down his list of questions. Then LeVon will give us a CFO report. Then your question is next. And then Bruce's question might be answered through LeVon or into, specifically after your question is worked upon.
Well, what's the committee want? How do we want to handle it?
You're the person that knows more about all of these rules. Can you help us?
Well, yes. Somebody should propose. We should propose an agenda because we seem to have not everybody's agreeing perfectly on where to put something. So maybe what we could do is, how about this? We can propose an agenda, and somewhere there will be a CFO report. Somewhere we will have John's
questions
or whatever. Somewhere we will put in the question I have to put to the NFC, and then Bruce has something. So there would be essentially four items with having six sub-items. So we could put it as CFO report, John, R. Paul, Bruce. And I can clean that up as we go along with that. So those are the four items, and I guess we should discuss how we would like the order of those.
Well, Tracy mentioned the fact that she might think that she might want to have LeVon at the end. You mentioned that LeVon should be at the front. I think at the front of the meeting. Those are basically the two areas as far as LeVon is concerned. If we get LeVon out of the way, I think that the rest will come on easy. Please.
I'm ready whenever you are.
Well, do we want to have a
step
vote
LeVon
or something?
Go.
I don't know. What do people want
to say? This is Tracy. I don't want to muck things up. I thought it would be fairly quick to sort of address the questions that members had brought to the meeting. But that said, if people prefer to hear LeVon's report, let's just do that and then go John or Paul Bruce. I don't want to...
Yeah, it's not like it's a big production. I just want to let you guys know what's going on quickly,
okay.
And that's it. I mean, it's not like a,
okay.
It might be a little gloom and doom, but the questions will perhaps, give you a little pop again.
Okay, I'm putting on my Napoleon hat, LeVon. LeVon's first, John's second, R. Paul is third, and Bruce is fourth.
Woo-hoo!
LeVon is first, John is second, R. Paul is third, and Bruce is fourth.
That sounds fine.
And I'm putting on my Napoleon hat, and I'm sticking my little hand in my vest.
Wait. Okay.
Okay. Any objections to that flow for the meeting? Okay, hearing none, let's move on forward. Please start, LeVon, and fill us in rapidly.
Okay, let me just turn the volume down because it's loud to me now. Okay, this is LeVon Williams, the CFO of the Pacifica Foundation. And just briefly, during this time of the year, we're into the final quarter of our fiscal year. This is July, and we're closing the month of July now, so we'll have two more months remaining. And at this time of the year, there's always pressures on cash flow. And as a reminder, I sent out something 2 years ago at this point in time. Members of the management of Pacifica Foundation and some of the members of the board were trying to float a $1 million loan. and they were planning to mortgage KPFK's building to do that. So just want to say that, you know, the pressures are great, but the pressures are not directing us to go out and get a loan. We think that we can, we believe that we can fund our cash flow pressures now, because we do not have a major fund drive again until usually the month of October. Now, KPFA is actually going to start their major fund drive, fall fund drive, in September. And in order to produce funds, in order for the foundation and the stations to operate until we get to the major drive, we're having smaller drives this in August, and KPFA has actually started theirs on the 26th. And KPFK will have a 7-day drive in August, beginning the 10th. They've already done a drive for the radio archives, and the last I heard, it was about $20,000, but there was more coming in for this 1-day drive for the Pacifica Radio Archives. KPFT is having a drive from August the 7th through the 15th. WPFW is having a drive beginning August the 6th, going 4 to 5 days right now is what's scheduled. However, WPFW, just to let you know, WPFW and WBAI are the two stations that have the greatest cash flow issues at this time. And, of course, that rolls directly into the national office, because if WPFW and WBAI are not helping to fund some of the common expenses like insurance, like we have to continue to pay on our audit fees for last year. We have Democracy Now. We have FSRN. So unless those stations can help fund those common expenses, that means that the national office has a serious cash flow problem also. So, again, in order to try to alleviate that, there is a drive at PFW. But also with PFW, there is an issue with the antenna. Bruce can probably fill in more on this issue. And that what has happened is that the antenna was they're operating at less than 50% over the last drive. So, therefore, the results of that drive was only about 50% of the goal, and that was due solely to the fact that if you can't reach the listener, then the listener cannot send in money, and that's what really happened, and that's why there are these steep pressures on PFW. In addition, there are some legal costs that are that are outstanding, and at this point, the effort is to really is to get those paid off, and so that those will be out of the way, so that when the antenna, which is supposed to be shipped, I believe, by the end of this week, so it'll be ready for the drive in the coming weeks, 2 weeks or a week and a half from now. So if that antenna is set up and operating, then we look forward to WPFW having a successful drive, and also so to relieve the pressures on cash, because at this point we're really looking at at covering we'll be able to let everyone know, if the rumors weren't getting out there, we will cover the payroll for those two stations for the end of this month. But they're serious pressures in terms of covering other expenses.
And, this is Summer. I'm just letting you know I'm here. Obviously, someone's cheering. But
okay, great.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm just doing a little brief update. And at KPFT and KPFK, KPFA also has some cash flow issues. They're only doing a 7-day drive and beginning on the 26th. And also during this time, each station is devoting some part of the day to raise funds for the archives, and they're using it as a special drive during this normal short summer fund drive. And so again, what we're doing, and we discussed during the PNB meeting, the general managers came out, and we kind of went over in terms of where their station is, what the issues are in terms of finance, in terms of operations, too, and in terms of delivering and trying to get back to a point where we have some reserves to carry us through the months when there are no drives. So the directive that's coming from the executive director is that for the remainder of this fiscal year and also through the end of the calendar year in December, that there will be basically a freeze on any on personnel actions, on hirings, there will be a cutting back of all consultants and outside and those who are supplying outside services unless approved by the executive director, and also for the stations to really look at discretionary funding and try to reduce and cut back on those. So again, you know, the goal is that each station needs to have a reserve, and we have to seriously look at building that reserve up. And also at this point in the month of July and August is to try to address some of the cash flow issues. And we realize that we will have to start paying on some of the past due major invoices. And particularly, again, with BAI, that includes rent. And also, there are a couple of other smaller ones. So, again, just to let everyone know that we are in serious cash flow issues at this point in time. We need to really conserve. We really need to, all of us as a foundation, need to think about what the mission is and think about the whole foundation being on a solid financial footing, and that we know that the history, with 2 years ago trying to get a $1 million loan is what has really placed us in this position, and that, you know, again, the only way we can be successful as a foundation is if we work together, that all of our actions are actions that allow us to be successful in both fundraising and both in programming. So, you know, I would just wish that everyone look at all their actions and make sure that, you know, all their actions support the mission, and that's it. And particularly during this election period, you know, we really, really, really need to make sure that we are supporting efforts that work toward delivering programming and toward the mission. So that's basically kind of what I wanted to tell you at this point in time, and, you know, just try to get your buy-in and that, you know, the awareness and the communication that, you know, we have to really work this together.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm sure that we might have questions for LaVarne at this moment. Let me at this time welcome our permanent chair to the meeting. And let me give you a quick briefing, Madam Chair, on what has transpired in the 15 minutes that it took you to come on the phone. We've set up a very simple agenda. Our person from KPFK, Anthony.
Yes, I read. It's not available.
Sure. Okay. So there's a possibility. One of the ideas is that maybe next Tuesday we reset a meeting to do that.
I'm happy to do that if we don't have too long tonight, if we don't have a lot to discuss.
However, there's three items. The first item on the agenda was LaVarne's report that we have agreed. The second item on the agenda is John's questions, and we phrased it like that. The third item on the agenda is our poll questions, and the fourth item on the agenda is Bruce Wu's questions. So we've just finished with LaVarne's very brief report on the financial status of the foundation. At this point in time, I will turn the meeting over to Madam Chairman Rees, and she can pick up, and if there's any questions for LaVarne, direct them to the chairman. Thank you very much for
You're
this opportunity,
kind.
Guys.
You're very kind, Alberto. Thank you for holding everything together. I appreciate it very much. So I guess we'll start with, are there questions for LaVarne? Is there a stack to be taken?
ARPOL.
Okay, ARPOL. Go ahead.
Okay. You mentioned major invoice to WBAI's rent. What's our situation with BAI's rent at the moment?
Yes. I'm pulling up the email. I'm pulling up the information right now to tell you exactly what it is. I have a couple of these things going here.
And Summer, will you put me on the queue too, please?
Of course, John. Thank you.
Okay, I'll tell you exactly what it is.
Is there anyone who wants to be on the stack after Don Wanger? Okay, not yet.
Let's see. Okay. Let's see if this is it. Oh, yeah, here we go. Okay. what you owe is, you know, the July rent to Empire State, so that's almost $40,000. The rent for June and July for Silverstein is about $61,000. That the health benefits that we have to take care here in the national office to make sure that they're paid, that's owed to the national office, which doesn't have any cash.
But how many months?
That's 2 months, June and July. And then those are the back things. So, and then those are the major things. And then there, the other item that I had on the sheet there that I'd sent out was you owe money to NeoPost. That's the group that funds your postal meters. And that was behind by about $6,000. And actually what that required was that for me working with Tony and Bertol to get that paid so that the meter would be, that you could fill the meter and start shipping out premiums. And they weren't able to do that on Friday because the postal meter, because NeoPost had not been paid. So, again, that required me trying to work with NeoPost and finally getting a transfer into the account on Monday and working with the staff there with Yvonne to get them to release it so they could ship things out yesterday. I'm not sure if they were able to, and they couldn't do it until today. So that's what the major payables are with the BAI.
Follow-up. Okay, so what does that come to roughly with the rent and benefits?
Okay, that's $125,000 plus of $130,000, and the fund drive that's coming up beginning on the 3rd. We're looking at they're looking at raising anywhere from $550,000 to $600,000. So if you just basically look at the payroll, which is about $110,000 or so a month, plus these back payments, that's another. So that's like $240,000 plus August and September. So that's another, that's like $360,000. And then you will have some cushion to get through with your other expenses, because your other expenses, of course, continue to go on. You have a fund drive, so you have to factor in the cost for the premium and the postage cost for that.
Okay, so we haven't paid the July rent on Empire, and we have to pay June and July for the studios.
Exactly. That's $100,000.
All right, thank you.
Point of information, madam.
Of course, go ahead.
Lavarne, do you have that information in an email?
Yeah, I do. Let me find it.
Can you send it to Arpal so that he can grab a complete picture? Not for me. I don't need it.
Well, I'll send it out to everyone.
I did
a sheet I had to have a graph. I wasn't looking at the graph that I sent out to the PNB as the backup. So I'll send this right now. I'll send it to you. I'll find it and send it.
Thank you.
Oh, sure. My pleasure.
And I'll add myself to the stack after John Langer.
After John.
Yeah. And Arpal, did you have further questions for LeVar?
Oh, no, I said I was done. I'm done.
Okay. So when you're ready, LeVar.
I'm sorry?
I said when you're ready, John Langer will be next with questions.
Oh, go ahead. I can do all of them.
Two things at once. Okay. go ahead, John.
Yeah, Lauren, all I wanted was just to restate what you said about the hiring freeze. I just want to get the exact wording in with that, because I think you said Arlene imposed a hiring freeze. Was that it?
Well, right. Arlene will send out, there will be a memo coming out, you know, detailing. But basically what a hiring freeze basically means is that there will be no one hired unless approved by Arlene. There will be, you know, there will always be exceptions. So everyone know that we have to hire GMs. That process is going on. There will be GMs hired for the stations that are open. But again, any other hires that, you know, unless absolutely needed, it will take their approval of the executive director of the foundation.
What's the effective date?
The effective date was probably July the 1st, but, you know, it'll...
My question is, when's the effective date? I'd like to get that, because I think at KPFK, they're trying to hire some more people, and I'd like to know the effective date.
Okay, well, so when Arlene sends it out, she will give the effective date of the hiring. So so those things are being looked at now. So based on what you said, you know, I'll have a conversation with Arlene. I'll send her an email. She's traveling, so I'll send her an email and note
Super.
That.
Super.
Is that it, John? For now?
Yep, that's it.
Okay, so I'm next on the stack. I guess a couple of questions I do have, Laverne. I would like to get clarity. We were all operating under the impression that we had a hiring freeze here at KPFK, and yet people have been hired since last year who are not in the budget. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I wanted to have an executive session to discuss personnel and legal matters, because, I'm only comfortable going so far on this call with this. But there is no clarity as to when the previous hiring freeze, under the assumption of which we were operating, was lifted, and by whom, and how, and how it is that we managed to hire people that seem to be purely discretionary during a period of hiring freeze, and how that relates to the present hiring freeze, because I'm disturbed by this, genuinely. So maybe we could take that up, but we really must have, like, a executive session personnel discussion, at least for Kay, I think, before we can go forward. And I think the hiring freeze, I'm very happy to hear that, but I felt we had a hiring freeze before, and I didn't see that being replicated out in the world, you know. So I would like to get clarity for the NFC, maybe if we have a meeting next week at that meeting, or, you know, I'd like to have those, just have the, what the records are. When was the hiring freeze lifted here at KPFK, if that's something that's ascertainable. Having another hiring freeze doesn't give me comfort when the last one wasn't adhered to, I guess. So if there's, some of that, you know, may precede both you and Darlene, but if that record exists, I'd like us to have an idea of what happened, because it just seems to have gone off the rails entirely. So anyway.
Oh,
we had a hiring freeze, but it wasn't respected, and we don't even know officially when it was lifted. Do you know what I mean? It's a complete mystery as to how we managed to hire people during a hiring freeze, and so having a new hiring freeze imposed, when did the last one get taken away? You know, it's... The board has no idea, frankly. So,
I don't either. So,
only
thing that we can do is just, you know. In fact, we've done this for one station, is to look at all the hires over a period of time. So we have done that, and that's one of the reasons why we're carefully monitoring.
Can I share some light on that?
Sure, of course, Alberto.
Okay. We were in a hiring freeze at KPFT, like everybody else was whenever it was instituted back then, summer.
Yes.
I remember that, as far as I can remember, the hiring freeze was lifted it was lifted as far as, because we had our front office person left, and then the hiring freeze came on.
Okay.
And so we were without a front office person. And then at a point in time, I had a conversation with Dwayne, our general manager, and our previous CFO, I'm sorry, our previous IGM, chair of the board, and she said basically that as it related to that position, that we could lift it if the treasurer of the organization, KPFT, myself at that point in time, and the chairman of the National Finance Committee agreed to the little move. There was a little, very, it was just 10 hours worth. So we agreed that there were funds available within the KPFT banking account, checking account, to allow this person to come in and help. And so I don't think it was a blanket lift. It was just, you know, in our situation, if the treasurer and the manager feel that there's a little bit of money in there, you can go ahead and pick up this person for this small amount of time. And that's what we did. So, but I don't think it came out as a blanket. everybody lifting the hiring freeze, but we worked it individually.
Thank you, Alberto. Well, I know no one consulted any treasurers here at KPFK or has even discussed it with the board in any way, shape, or form. So
sure,
it sounds
I understand.
Like something
yeah.
we need to maybe take up further here at K, but I would like to, you know, that's part of what I want to have a discussion next week when we have.
Okay.
You know, Anthony can only answer questions about our budget, but some of these things, you know, they help us to get a handle on how things happen. I have one other question, LaVarne. I'm not sure, maybe I'll bring forward a motion this evening, but we are again running the Berkeley pitch on KPFK's airwaves, which is what destroyed our last fund drive.
Exactly.
And well, I bring it to the attention of people here locally, and this is what happened last time. I brought it to the attention of people locally. I brought it to the attention nationally. I can't get anyone to make a decision that says this is just a bad idea, which did you get my request on those numbers? I would like to look at those. What kind of money did KPFK actually gather from running 3 weeks of the Berkeley pitch? Because I think we will see that it wasn't in no way compensates for the damage done to the listening public by being in Fund Drive for two straight months. And we're about to be giving the appearance of being in Fund Drive again. I'm horrified that Berkeley's having to have another Fund Drive, frankly, so quickly after their last one. But it's horrible to have it running on our airwaves again because we just got out of Fund Drive, you know? And
okay,
I don't know
I'm
what to do about this.
Now.
It's a disaster financially. It's just, it has nothing to do with programming or factions. It's just bad business, you know?
Okay.
So, let me just
tell you that when we had the meeting before the PNB meeting, that was
yes.
the topic that
yes.
I brought up in our discussion, and we talked about it, and so you know it was discussed. It so you know it's a you know quite frankly some people you know there are various opinions in terms of how what the effect that was on KPFK, but let me just tell you, from my view, I think it does have a negative effect because I've been over there answering phones during the newscast at KPFA,
yeah.
and the callers that called in were all from are at KPFA, and all the callers who I got on just sitting there were all from KPFK. They all pledged with credit cards. So and then the message that I get is that, you know, we can't have too many days of fundraising because there's this listener fatigue, there's staff fatigue. So, you know, you can't have it both ways. It can't be listener fatigue when we need you to raise funds in order to create a reserve and also in order to pay the common debt or common invoices and bills that we pay here out of the national office. But then it's not a bad effect if they're running this drive on KPFK's air when KPFA is having a fund drive. So, you know, because it does extend the number of times that the listeners at KPFK. So I understand what you're saying. I raised this issue. You know, we'll raise it again in our discussions. We're trying to have every Tuesday I think it's going back to Thursday, whatever, have a meeting with the general manager, so this will come up again, and I'll send another little action. I'll send the email again about this very topic, and I understand what you're saying,
I'd like to request, please, that the National Finance Committee be supplied with the numbers of the actual money that was generated to KPFK during the weeks that the KPFA fund drive ran on our airwaves, because to me, that will give us actual statistical data that we can measure against. This is the most unsuccessful fund drive KPFK has had the entire time I've been on the board, and from what everyone tells me, for like a few years before that, in terms of just falling dramatically short of its goals and having a really hard time. And I don't know if that's true or not. Anyway, I would like to request that we see the numbers
yeah.
and
well,
just what the actual money was raised. If it was a good amount of money. But I really did get a lot of complaints from the community, from people who
right.
feel totally worn out hearing us pitch for two straight months,
right.
and it's about to happen now for another however long KPFA's
right.
in Fund Drive, and it just isn't right to, you know, wear down the listener base, even if it's... Anyway, so I would please request that we have those numbers of what money
okay.
was generated during that time here
well,
to KPFK, because I think that'll
okay.
help us at least, you know.
Okay, I'm composing an email. As soon as
Thank
I'm
you,
this
I appreciate that.
And we'll just send it to Anthony and have Anthony supply, because... The other way we could do it is because Anthony gets the information from them.
Yeah, whichever way is most efficient.
From Terry.
Yeah.
Or from Chris, actually. So rather than ask Chris, I'll just ask Anthony to give us the information. And
I have a point of information.
Thank you so much. That way we can take it up next week when we look at our
yeah.
budget.
Uh-huh.
Thank
exactly.
you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Go ahead, Alberto.
Yes, quickly. I know how we do it here at KPFD and probably at the other two other stations that are not joined at the hip, like KNA. So, LaVarne, my question is, like, if I needed information like that, like what Summer is asking here at my station, I would go to my development director, who would open up the computer and could give me the answers.
Exactly.
I would go to Robin, and she would give me. In this particular case, you were in Berkeley, you were picking up the telephone, you were receiving a pledge from Los Angeles that supposedly is credited to the Los Angeles radio station.
We don't want to say supposedly that, you know, we just want to know where it is and when it was
transferred. Well, that gets credited. Okay, let me clear my language. That gets credited to Los Angeles. But how do you do that? How does that become separated? And I would imagine that there's a group of volunteers sitting at the table, picking up the phone in Berkeley, and people are calling in. And how would a volunteer separate the K from the A? And how do you, I guess that's part of a question, how do you credit K versus A and vice versa? And
okay,
not for you to answer, but I think that's a question.
No, I can answer it. I can answer really quickly. KPFA has the station, I think it's called the affiliate station, it's called the station in Fresno. So KPFA, when they fund drive, they also are getting pledges for KFCF. So what they do is they separate it by zip code. So, you know, up to a certain zip code, all of those funds are credited and go to KFCF. So the same way they're doing for KPFK,
okay,
I understand, is by zip code.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's a question I have. Why does KFCF get pitched on our airwaves? If it's an affiliate, why is it the only one that gets pitched during our pledge drive? Do we have some other arrangement with them?
It's not an affiliate. It's called a
repeater.
Sister station.
It's like our Santa Barbara signal down here.
Right.
Wrong. Okay, but with a different set of call letters. Okay, because that's never been clear. You hear the KFCF, you're like, who are they? Okay,
wrong.
All right. Well, Fresno needs it, that's for sure. Inland part of California wants to hear us. The other question I had about that, and this, again, it's part of rumor control and not knowing what's really going on. I was told that we didn't actually, the money that's raised during that KPFA news and letters to Washington pledge drive, that money doesn't actually get transferred down to KPFK, that we get transferred the information of the donors and have to recontact them to collect the money. Is that an erroneous piece of information, or is that...
I can tell you that doesn't make sense, and no.
It sounded
That's
horrible.
Not what I've been told. But, you know, what we'll do is exactly what you had asked to do.
Thank
is
you.
Have Anthony, and here, I'm sending it here.
Yeah, yeah, because it would really clear up a lot. And you know, there's definite sentiment here locally that has damaged our fund drive.
Rumor.
You know what I mean?
Rumor.
Well, some of it's also just people's feeling of being pitched at all the time. So, anyway, we can move on. Alberto, you said that it was broken up into sets of
questions.
Correct?
Sure. Now it's John's turn for his 6-7 quick questions, and then it would be our Paul, and then Bruce.
And then Bruce. That's what I thought. Thank you. Okay, so John Wenger, you have the floor.
Okay, I found my 7th question. So the first question is, do any other stations have the assistant general manager position? We might call ours the assistant to the general manager, but whatever. It is an executive level position that's up in the, you know, the top 3 salaries. So how about the rest of you guys? Who else has assistant general managers?
Okay, KPFA has an assistant general manager. And normally it does not have an assistant general manager, but during this time of transition without, you know, a permanent general manager, they have, I think before the previous manager left, they had moved, they had opened up this position and placed a person in as assistant general manager. Tracy, you can confirm this, but that's my, I know that for a fact that's what happened.
Yeah, I can confirm that we do have someone serving as an interim assistant general manager. It's a person who is serving as our development director, and we don't have a program director. So exactly what all that adds up to, I don't know. The person was put into the position before the prior
manager departed on an interim basis, and has sort of carried on. I think basically the reason that everyone is going along with it is that we do have an interim GM, and an interim GM with a strong human resources background and not such a strong radio background. So it's seeming that having an assistant GM is helping to keep things going smoothly. I don't think anyone anticipates the position continuing once our GM hire is completed.
Okay, anybody else?
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other stations?
No.
No.
Okay.
At KPFT, we only have one regular general manager, and that's it.
Got it.
That's
okay.
Houston.
So to understand it, then, it's basically at Berkeley, it's an interim measure, and expected not to continue on as soon as you get a final permanent GM.
That's my understanding.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Okay, moving on to number two then. Since I'm the new kid on the block, I love to look at the draft budgets from the other stations. I might have them in my email, but I don't remember receiving. I got Berkeley's, but I don't think I don't remember the others. Have the others been sent out? Should I just look at my email, or should I already have draft budgets for the other stations? Only Texas. Okay. Well, can they be sent out? I'd love to see them.
And Pacifica Radio Archives.
The archives, okay.
And what about BAI and WPFW?
We're still working them. And we're still working them. Like I said, you're right. Efren is out for a few days, and so he's helping with the KPFA budget. So I understand they're working on it. I'm talking with Maria and Amelia, who's the assistant general manager at interim assistant general manager at KPFA. So they're all working on it. That's why we're getting back into the swing of things. We're also into the close next week, so it will probably not be closed in terms of the budget work next week, but the following week.
Okay.
Can you send John a copy of KPFT's more recent budget, LaVarne, please? Because
I
he doesn't have it.
I'm also thinking might be helpful, because we do really lack a broad understanding of each station's particulars, even though we look at their budgets, is it might be helpful to us, maybe not on the most immediate call, but to do a comparison of the staffing resources at each station, because obviously some stations are bigger and may require more staffing, but some of them may have redundant positions and stuff. I think that is maybe worthy of a review at some point in the not-too-distant future. So.
Okay. I sent out the FTEs and the budget and the package that we did for the PNB. This month I'm going to send the same thing out, but instead of salaries, I'll send out I'll send out positions and salary. But you know, well, actually, I'll send out names without names and position and without the salaries, except for the total. But I've sent out details.
Actually, LaVarne,
salaries are good. Yeah, we should know that.
Salaries are good.
I mean, it's kept confidential anyway. I just preface it with a confidential warning. I think you know.
That's right. Well, I didn't do it, but I will. I can do that. I mean,
I appreciate that.
I just need to it'll be private and confidential. And so I'll send out the FTEs. I should have those. I've already asked Donna for them, so we'll have them by Friday. I will send them out. So you know, and that's what I need every month. And what I'm getting now is a count, is an FTE count for each station.
Okay, moving on to number three.
Yes.
Yeah. So number three, I'm particularly interested in news departments. Our LA's news department has shrunk to one person who basically just submits reports to the Berkeley News. And my question is, how many people do you have in your news departments around the network? I'd just love to know whether news has stopped. I mean, it's stopped here, basically. Berkeley has one. What about the other stations? And how many people are there?
Okay.
So, for example, in Texas, how many people in the news department?
We have one full-time person and one part-time person as paid staff. All of the reports, one full-time and one part-time.
But do you utilize stringers?
And no.
How part-time? Half-time?
Let me tell you. The part-time person, I think, is working 25% time.
Okay.
All of the reporters. And the anchors, all of the reporters and all of the anchors, and we have several anchors that rotate, are volunteers. We pay no stringers. We pay no news reporters. The general, the news director, who is the full-time person, will coordinate all of the work. The part-time person tends to run, be an anchor, do news, pick up news stories, but be an anchor when some of those volunteers, you know, call in and say they can't show because of whatever reason. But our news are covered Monday through Friday, half an hour, from 4:30 to 5 o'clock in the afternoon after Free Speech Radio News. But it's 1 1/4 paid employees and everybody else. And we do have a group of reporters, and there's a reporter that goes out to the courthouse and a reporter that does the environmental stuff and a reporter that keeps on top of, you know, whatever is coming down from Austin and that kind of stuff. And,
got
of
it.
Course,
okay.
We have...
So,
yes.
So basically, you got an hour of news, half hour of Free Speech Radio News and a half hour of your own Monday through Friday.
Yes, sir.
And, this all, gotcha. Okay, well, how about Berkeley? What do you guys have?
Hold on. John, it might be more effective to have... if. Somebody would be willing to task this to. Well, go ahead and answer Berkeley.
Or it can be emailed. It can be emailed.
I think Berkeley speaking. I'm also thinking though it would be nice, John, if you sent your list of the 7 questions and if some people might reply in a more thorough fashion. That's all, really what I was getting at. I'm thinking like these are good questions, and sometimes you have it off the top of your head.
It's already done. It's already.
Beautiful.
I already sent it to the list this
Thank
afternoon.
You. Okay, go ahead, Berkeley.
We have 4.5 FTE, that is slightly reduced in the recent round of layoffs. I believe those jobs are divided between 6 individuals, one full-time and others a variety of 0.8, 0.6, 0.5, 0.4, et cetera.
So all together,
4.8?
4.5 FTE. 4.5 FTE, okay, great,
okay.
Thank you.
And how many hours of news do you have? Do you do full Free Speech Radio News? You have your own hour, which is recorded with us.
We have our own. Yeah, we produce news headline snippets, which are 4 to 5 minute segments, a couple of times a day. We do an hour long newscast Monday through Friday. We broadcast Free Speech Radio News separately, and then we do incorporate a significant chunk of FSRN into our evening news, and we produce the rest of it. And then we have half an hour newscasts on Friday and Saturday that are produced by volunteers.
Half hour Friday and Saturday?
Saturday and Sunday on the weekends.
Okay, Saturday
that
and
are
Sunday.
Produced by volunteers. Yeah.
Okay, so to repeat then, you guys have 5 hours of your own, plus you have your own Free Speech Radio News, which is 5 more half hours. And then you have 2 half hours on the weekend from your volunteers. Plus you have snippets. You got
plus we have
I love
snippets,
it.
Yeah.
I want to do like Berkeley does. Okay. How about BAI? What do you guys got?
I'd have to actually look up our exact FDs and stuff. I could tell you this. We have Monday to Friday. We do a half hour, and that's followed by the FSRN. We have on the weekend we have a news Saturday and Sunday we have a news half hour, and I'm forgetting something.
You have more on the weekdays. You have a person who works with both headlines and also doing research for news, Gail Walker.
Okay. We have the Spanish language news is run on the air too.
Informativo?
I believe.
Yeah.
Let me look and make absolutely sure here instead of just saying it. It's down at, yes. Monday through Friday, we have Informativo Pacifica is on BAI. Is
oh, Monday excellent.
Thursday. Thursday. It's Monday through Thursday is Informativo. That's it.
Great. Okay.
It's our news.
And how about PFW? That's great.
This is Bruce from WPFW. Listen, I'm going to be honest, John. For us, you've hit on a very raw issue. And I really want to discuss this when we go to executive session, it'll be clearer then. But I'll tell you right now, I can tell you that basically we have two full-time people, one for our news department, one for public affairs. Whatever else is done by volunteers. But I want to talk about this, but I don't want to talk about it in open session.
Okay. I'm just trying to get a picture because, frankly, we got one guy full-time, and he just submits stuff to the Berkeley newscast, and I think we're a big station. We should do a lot better. And I'm finding out that basically we're last in the network here, it seems. And so we can go into executive session. But anyway, this is really helpful to give me the perspective on that. So thanks very much.
I'll tell you one thing, John.
My question.
John, I'll tell you one thing. You're not last.
Okay. Okay, it just feels like it.
Okay, John, do you have any other questions?
I guarantee you.
Wait a minute, please. Time out.
Yes, of course, Alberto.
Bruce, do you have a news program every day, Monday through Friday? Question?
I want to talk about this in executive session.
Okay.
And when I do, then it'll be clearer why this is very...
Okay, well, sorry. I didn't mean to pry. But,
no, it's okay.
Thank you.
But it has to do with...
That's okay.
So I'm ready to move on.
Yes.
Summer,
go ahead.
Okay to go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so question number four, Arbitron ratings. Does each station get them? I saw them in the Berkeley thing. Excuse me, not the Berkeley, the Texas thing. We get them. We pay in excess of $21,000 for them. I think that in general, that if I propose, and this is sort of somewhat humorous, I propose to share ours with the rest of you to enable you guys to do comparative analysis. LA needs to increase its listenership. I would like to know how each of you obtains most of your listeners so we may consider importing your best practices to LA. Would you guys like to see our, would you like us to share our Arbitrons with you? So that's it as an offer. Now, I may not be able to come to deliver on this, but the question is if KPFK could deliver them, would you like to receive them for comparative analysis?
Question?
Yes, of course. Arpal?
Yeah. I think before anybody does that, we should clear it with the lawyers. I believe that there are contracts signed for Arbitron ratings, and my impression, what I've been told over the years, is you can't just plaster them all over the place and show them to anybody you please. It's sort of restricted as to who gets to see Arbitron ratings. So, if
Hold on, let Arpal finish, please. Go ahead.
That's still in effect, we should find out about it rather than sending it around through governance and stuff. Okay.
May I respond to that?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, I researched it, and it turns out that the Arbitrons Corporation produces them and sells them to commercial radio stations. But if you'd like to get a break on them, you go to a thing called the RRC, which is a radio research consortium, and they basically sell them at a discount to people such as us, where they sell them to the nonprofits. Now, what KPFK does is we get them, and once we get them, what they do is, in order to simplify the management, they designate one person to be the Arbitron System Access Manager. In our case, it happens to be Bob Conger, our interim general manager, and he can then set up any number of accounts. And it's an infinite number. It's just it's a question of how much time he has to do the typing. So, for example, I believe that there's two things that come out of them. There's an email distribution, and the email distribution includes LaVarne Williams and Arlene Engelhardt, as well as three people at KPFK. And but it could be an infinite number of people who get these email reports. Plus, there are accounts at a place called my.arbitron.com, and since KPFK has the top tier service, we get the highest granularity data. We can set up essentially an infinite number of people who can then download some software and then look at the Arbitron stuff. Basically, KPFK is buys it and can send it out as to anybody they want. And in fact, many radio stations, the Clear Channel ones, they have them, they post them to all of their employees and all the rest. But your own purchase arrangement may determine that. But so assuming that this is legal to distribute, would you like to receive our Arbitrons? That's the thing. It's an offer of sharing information, assuming that it can be done legally.
Well, I don't know if you're asking for a vote, but I imagine most people will probably say yes.
Well, for example, and maybe Arpal can correct us, I don't think WBAI is subscribing to Arbitrons because they don't have the funds. Is that true, Arpal? I heard you mention that a while back.
Yes, as far as...
For example.
The last information I have is that BAI was not getting the Arbitrons.
I guess this is something...
Yeah, well, that would make sense.
Hold on one moment, please. LaVarne, is this something that you could clarify for us in terms of which stations have contracts for Arbitrons and what they're paying for them? Is that something...
He's correct. WBI, the choices between the rent and Arbitrons...
Of course.
Sure.
Do these contracts go to the national office, or are they being made individually, station by station?
Individually.
They're made individually, but we...
Chargeback.
As foundation, we do get, as John says, I do get copies of the radio research report.
I see this as an ongoing problem, at least here locally, that perhaps the PNB needs to resolve with some sort of policy statement, and it would be nice to see the contract. So perhaps, yes, I guess we should make a note to communicate with Anthony. We'd like to see the contract, I guess, for the Arbitrons here at K, and we can take it from there. Because some of these things are local issues, but we should have policies that apply to all the stations about, you know, what the sharing and distribution policy is, you know.
Sure.
So, I don't know. How do you want to move forward with that, John? I would ask any data that you have, LaVarne, in terms of which stations and what we're paying for them. If you have those kind of numbers, if you could supply them to the NFC, that would be helpful. And then maybe we can ask to look at the contract here locally and see what the restrictions are, you know.
Yes.
They should be clear.
Those are all good ideas.
Yeah. Okay. What else do you have so we can move on with the agenda, John? Do you have more
questions? Right. Okay. So number five is also... Moving right along, number five, our LSB voted last year to increase our Arbitrons to the highest level of granularity to support analyses. I believe we pay for it and get quarter-hour numbers for every hour of the week. I say believe because our interim GM has refused to provide them to our local station board when we passed a motion asking them to provide us with accounts at myarbitron.com so we can see all of our data. How can the NFC help us get our own Arbitrons from our uncooperative GM? Arlene, would you please ask him to cooperate with our LSB? If that fails, would you please order him to work with our LSB? I thought Arlene would be here, but she's not.
Yeah, so this sounds like something we need to probably take up again, and it sounds like something that may be worthy of a PNB motion, you know, depending. I don't know. And LaVarne can't fix that part of it.